Sportilia, an English-speaking anarchist radio show with international and local perspective. At Radio Blau, Leipzig. Hello, welcome to Bad News for Chile. My name is Camila.
And my name is Milan. yeah, like always, we start with a big part of bad news, angry voices from around the world, which is a monthly radio show from anarchist and anti-authoritarian radios worldwide, done by the network. You can check out angry voices from around the world at a-radio-network.org. Cause sadly, sometimes, or maybe it's also nice that sometimes we have so much own content that we can advertise you, or like, with our own content, so then you will be able to check the whole Angry Voices on the webpage of the network.
Yeah, these days it's not so complicated to find some important bad news because the world is on fire and under hurricanes and injustice and hunger and everything. Bad news this time tried to show the news from very different aspects, and we prepared also some interview from Colombia, which we will play afterwards. We start with the bad news.
Bad news.
Bad news for the state.
Bad news for capital.
Bad news for patriarchy.
Bad news for all forms of domination.
Bad news. Angry voices from around the world.
Our monthly info show from anarchist and anti-authoritarian radio projects worldwide.
If these news are bad, I don't want to be good.
You are listening to episode 38 of Bad News, the monthly radio show of the Anarchist and Anti-Authoritarian Radio Network. It is September 2020, and this episode is presented by Dissident Island Radio in London. This time round, we'll be featuring a mix of reports and interviews from around Europe, starting in Greece, where we hear from Radio Fragmate in Athens. They'll be talking about direct actions, environmental struggles, and the upcoming anniversary of the death of Pavlos Fissas. One of his songs, Rest in Power, Killipi, is featured at the end of their segment. A Radio in Berlin bring us a report from Spain on Operation ARC and the repression against the anarchist movement. Dissident Island has a short roundup of union winds, animal action, eco-wars and ACAB ammo from a largely wet August on the steadily sinking ship that is the so-called United Kingdom. Radio Zones of Subversive Expression contribute reports about the Moria refugee camp fire and the evacuation of the Rosa Nera squad. Frequenza have a short report about the ongoing struggle against gentrification in Leipzig. And finally, Free Social Radio 1431 AM in Thessaloniki have brief updates about the eviction of the Terra Incognita squat, the invasion of cops in the Libertaria squat during rebuilding works, and comrades on hunger strike, and the martyr Ebru Tintik in Turkey.
Everybody, hope you all are safe and stand strong. We are Radio Fragmata from Athens, Greece. So, another month and another report on the situation here in Greece. There has been no calm in the repression by the state, nor any peace for the marginalized and excluded. Another historical squad has been evacuated. The economic despair many already face is finally appearing before their eyes. Society drifts towards the right at the instruction of state media. And the largest concentration camp housing migrants in all of Europe has been engulfed in flames, displacing thousands as we speak. Like the rest of the world, each morning greets us with new concerns, disasters and precarity. We share this information in the pursuit of relentless and borderless solidarity. In this report, we choose to speak about direct actions, some environmental struggles, and the Pavlos Fissas coming anniversary. You can always check our monthly full report, which hopefully is included in the description. Direct actions. As repression is heightened, public demonstrations are legally banned and social center squads are under constant threat of evacuation, it can only be assumed that revolutionary movements will also be forced to adapt and take cover in the opportunity of the night. A few clandestine actions of revolutionary solidarity are worth noting, as we want to highlight the capability of our struggle to manifest rage where and however needed. Since the asylum of universities has been lifted, private security contractors and police have collaborated in innovative ways to supervise university campuses and rid them of the historical freedom previously and uniquely enjoyed on Greek campuses. A communique claimed responsibility on a car belonging to the company My Services on August 24th. Also, a vehicle belonging to a Turkish diplomat was set ablaze in Thessaloniki in the early hours of Thursday, August 27th. The action happened in a neighborhood that houses multiple foreign embassies, communicating a will to strike in the night, regardless of the immense security obstacles in such an area. The action was declared in solidarity with the Brew Timtik, who passed away inside one of Erdogan's prisons after a 238-day hunger strike. A communique for the action also declared solidarity with the Terra Incognita squad and appears to have been timed to recognize the international call of solidarity with political prisoners called for August 23rd to the 28th by the anarchist Black Cross. Late in the night on August 30th, the personal car of a well-known fascist in Patras known as Stefanos Tsonakidis was destroyed by arson while it was parked in front of his house. Stefanos used to be a member of the neo-Nazi group Golden Dawn and has now joined an even more fascist splinter group of Golden Dawn created by the notorious neo-Nazi Ilias Kassidiaris. The action was declared by Anti-Fascist Action and sends a clear message that these fascists will never be safe, even in their homes. Nature updates. As mentioned in Pro Report, the environmental situation is in ongoing escalation as the government seeks to compensate for the loss of tourist money. In the region of Pylio Volos, where we have mentioned struggles against the privatization of water, the state has begun expanding its attempts to take control of water supplies in the biologically diverse mountain region. In line with other community assemblies in the region, such as Tayates, the village of Drakia has established a popular assembly to prevent development and control of natural water sources. Popular assemblies in villages across the region has given broader strength to a movement to defend the land against desperate developers and opportunistic business elite. The struggle against industrial trash burning also continues in Volos. Struggle continues against the development of wind turbines with specific blockades and resistance set up in on the island of Tinos. Police have been moved by the state into villages and onto islands or in order to counter popular resistance. They move police in order to halt traffic and escort industrial machinery or lock down regions in order to destroy mountain stops before any resistance can be conducted. Fires has also continued to blaze, with either climate change or the classic Greek developer setting forests and land ablaze, hoping to affect future regulation over building. Regardless of who or what is responsible, capitalism is to blame. Village assemblies and movements are continuing to act and come together, though, against dams, development and in broader defense of the land. As the climate crisis rages on in line with industrial ambitions, we can expect an inevitable increase in tragic ecological events, however, a parallel growth of resistance to them. Pavlos Fissas' anniversary is coming. As you listen to this, it will be just days or the days for the anniversary of Pavlos' death at the hands of neo-Nazis from the Golden Dawn group. September 18th marks 7 years since he was murdered. Since then, the only justice we have seen for his murder was an anonymous killing of two fascists from Golden Dawn and the broader resistance to fascists by the movement since his death that is demonstrated in the streets. The state continues to play games in their courts, fluctuating prosecution based on media attention. However, an alleged verdict is expected October 7th. Fascists have joined the global train of conspiracy theories. New efforts by Golden Dawn and other neo-Nazi groups have gone in to challenge coronavirus restrictions, 5G, and other nonsense with influence from American and German right-wing counterparts. Scuffles have broken out in the streets as lines are being highlighted even more intensely in the already politically polarized Greek society. Fortunately, anti-fascists were able to find the leader of Golden Dawn and attack him with water bottles while he was vacationing. With the current state of things and the administration's escalation of repression towards anarchists and anti-fascists, we expect a much more intense future of fighting the efforts of fascists in Greece. Such a statement falls in line with the global state of things. May a torch of insurrection and resistance be held across the world through our borderless solidarity.
Έγινε ο κόσμος μια μεγάλη φυλακή. Κι εγώ ψάχνω έναν τρόπο τα δεσμά να σπάσω. Έχω ένα μέρος που με περιμένει εκεί. Σε μια πολύ ψηλή κορφή πρέπει να φτάσω. Για αυτά πλένω ξανά πολύ ψηλά τα δυο μου χέρια. Για να κλέψω λίγο φως από τα λάμπερα αστέρια. Δεν αντέχω εδώ κάτω και κοντεύει να με πνίξει. Των ανθρώπων η μιζέρια τόσο όσο και η θλίψη. Δεν αντέχω άλλο κι όλοι αυτοί δεν μου ταιριάξαν. Πήρα τ' άλλο μονοπάτι και όχι αυτό που μου χαράξαν. Ήταν δύσβατο σκληρό και με παγίδες πολλές. Αγάπες, κάρτες και φίλοι, φαρμάκερες, σοκές. Είχε τέρατα με παράξενες στολές που παραμονεύαν πάντοτε κρυφά με στις σκιές. Μήκο το σταθείς, απρόκειται να ακολουθήσεις. Τα δόντια σφίξε γερά και μη δακρύσεις. Εγώ το φύγα και το έφτασα στο τέρμα. Και όπως γράφουν στα βιβλία οι παλιοί σοφοί, όταν θα φτάσει ο ήλιος στο τελευταίο γέρμα θα βάλουνε φωτιά από ψηλά οι αετοί. Για στους με πρόδωσαν με πίσω μαχαιριές. Θέλω να ξέρουν ότι σιγάνε κάτσου. Και για αυτές τις αγάπες τις παλιές θέλω να ξέρουν ότι σιγάνε κάτσου. Κι όσοι μ' απειλήσαν με πυρήνες θέλω να ξέρουν ότι σιγάνε φωτικό. Να έρθουνε να με βρουν στην κορυφή ψηλά τους περιμένω και σιγάνε φωτικό. Μου είπα να μην κάνω όνειρα τρελά. Να μην τολμήσω να κοιτάξω τα αστέρια. Μα εγώ ποτέ μου δεν τους πήρα σοβαρά. Πήρα τον κόσμο ολοκληρώ στα δυο μου χέρια. Θέλουνε τώρα να μου φτιάξουν μια φοριά. Που εκτυπάνονται στο φόβο την ασκήμια. Και ένα κλάμα γοερό και μια λυσίδα βαριά. Κουβαλάει την κατάρα των θεών και την πλασφήμια. Δεν θα δακρύσω μα δεν και θα φοβηθώ. Δεν θα αφήσω να μου κλέψουν τα όνειρά μου ελευθερά ψηλά. Πολύ ψηλά πετώ. Κι όλοι ζηλεύουν τα περήφανα κι αδές με τα φτερά μου. Και περιμένω κι άλλα αδέρφια για να βγουν. Σ' αυτή την κορυφή που όλους περιμένει αρκεί. Να μην δακρύσουν και να μην φοβηθούν. Σ' αυτή την έξυπνη απάτη την καλωστημένη. Για στους με πρόδωσαν με πίσω μαχαιριές. Θέλω να ξέρουν ότι σιγάνε κάτσου. Και για αυτές τις αγάπες τις παλιές θέλω να ξέρουν ότι σιγάνε κάτσου. Κι όσοι μ' απειλήσαν με πυρήνα δεσμά θέλω να ξέρουν ότι σιγάνε φοβηθούν. Να έρθουν να με βρουν στην κορυφή ψηλά τους περιμένω και σιγάνε φοβηθούν. Για στους με πρόδωσαν με πίσω μαχαιριές. Θέλω να ξέρουν ότι σιγάνε κάτσου. Και για αυτές τις αγάπες τις παλιές θέλω να ξέρουν ότι κι όσοι μ' απειλήσαν με πυρήνες θέλω να ξέρουν ότι σιγάνε φοβηθώ. Να έρθουνε να με βρουν στην κορυφή ψηλά τους περιμένω και
So up next, we're going to hear from A-Radio Berlin, who had the opportunity to talk with comrades from the Burning Arcs Collective, which does solidarity work around a police operation not so well known outside of Spain called Operation Arc, which took place in May of 2019. In order to protect the identity of the people interviewed, A-Radio Berlin has re-recorded the interview with their own voices.
Hi, thanks for taking the time to do this interview. Could you start by telling us who you are?
El grupo Quemando Arcas nace.
The group Burning Arcs began in solidarity with comrades accused in the Operation Arc. Our intention is to create and spread content about repression, its effects, and solidarity. We understand this operation as a blow against the anarchist movement as a whole, and we don't want it to be only up to the accused to face the repression. We do not pretend to talk on their behalf, and all of our work is a result of a collective effort.
To have some context, it would be good that you say a bit more about this Operation ARC. What happened?
El 13 de mayo de 2019,
on the 13th of May 2019, the police forcefully entered two occupied houses in Madrid. One of them was the occupied anarchist space Ambush, Espacio Ocupado Anarquista La Emboscada. From the beginning, the only thing that was communicated to those living there was that they would only register things and detain two people under terrorism charges, without any further explanations. The raid lasted about 6 hours and it was centered around confiscating any electronic devices, notebooks, anarchist propaganda, tools and clothing. The two comrades were detained for a couple of days and then were set free without any precautionary measures while they awaited trial. It was 5 months after this when all of a sudden the public prosecutor asked for precautionary measures for the two accused. And so the judge decided to take away their passports, forbid them to leave the country without a judiciary permit, and demand that they show up to sign in at the court twice a month. With or without precautionary measures, we assume that the comrades and their surroundings have been under police surveillance, phones tapped, etc.
Y su entorno han estado bajo vigilancia policial con escuchas telefónicas, etc.
Later on, we will talk in more detail about the repression surrounding this case, but let's stay now with the state operations. This is not the first operation of this type against anarchist people and structures. Before, we had Pandora, Piñata, ICE. Can you see something systematic in all of this? And what does it have to do with the state and its repressive efforts?
Vemos que se mantiene en todos los casos.
We can see in all these cases a great effort from the state in associating anarchist environments and ideas with what they call terrorism. However, this time the strategy is different. In Pandora and Piñata, they investigated interpersonal relationships and politics in order to trace a diagram of an anarchist terrorist organization, but in the end, they had an organization to which no actions could be attributed. In this case, the investigation starts with a series of actions with presumed terrorist aims because of the anarchist ideas under which they have been revindicated. But the accusations are not strong enough to attribute these actions to the two people being accused. From here, the police are making the effort to search for more people and relationships. We see something very systematic in the police strategy, which goes beyond the punishment of certain specific crimes, such as the burning of a bank or smashing up a shop window. The entire narrative, which pretends to relate anarchist ideas with terrorist aims, and the cheap but insistent attempts to find this hypothetical anarchist terrorist organization, seem to open up a door which makes it easy to repress anarchist spaces. It also presupposes a periodic repression towards the movement, which doesn't require any justification. Because even though it ends in dozens of archived cases without proofs, it continues to greatly wear down the movement when it comes to dealing with fear, surveillance, financial strains, etc.
Con la vigilancia, con el gasto económico, etc., etc.
In the Pandora cases, it was assumed that the possession of a RiseUp email account and a black notebook were enough proof of something sinister. How is the situation in this case?
In this case, there are many things inside the investigation with which it isn't clear if they are accusations or not. Many of them have no proof and others are supported by clues that cannot be sustained. For example, it is a reason for suspicion that one visits counter-information websites or reads communiques or news on these sites. For us, the fact that RiseUp or Contramatriz are mentioned in the investigations only show the efforts to criminalize things that are not crimes in and of themselves, and that are part of a culture and struggle of anarchist spaces. Same goes for showing support towards certain struggles or being in solidarity with the two imprisoned comrades. In this sense, we think it is important to not play along with the police and continue to support these projects, struggles, and comrades.
Estos proyectos, luchas y estas personas.
Are there people in preventive custody or something like that? What do you know about the development of the investigations?
No, de momento solo hay dos personas encausadas.
No, at the moment there are only two people accused, free and awaiting trial, complying with the precautionary measures. At the beginning, the lawsuit was secret, but when it was revealed, we found out that the two comrades were being accused of like 10 actions revindicated on the internet. Since then, the police have been writing reports to the judge with which they have been able to add more than 20 actions that have taken place in the last 3 years. Right now, the investigation seems to be centered more on what appears on the counter-information websites and analyses of the material that they confiscated in the raid.
Análisis del material que incautaron en la redada.
Tell us a bit about these actions. What were they about and what is their relevance for the anarchist struggle, but also within the repressive concept of the state?
Las acciones en el marco de esta investigación.
The actions scrutinized in this investigation are heterogeneous, and they do not have a sole common objective, even though all of them have been revindicated by anarchists. Attacks with paint or smashing of windows of real estate companies, banks and political party headquarters are quite common. There have also been many arson cases to vehicles of real estate companies, security agencies and car sharing companies. Maybe one action with the greatest magnitude was an explosive set to a bank branch in solidarity with Lisa. The actions being investigated are different, which is why their relevance is also different in each case. In general terms, those actions done in solidarity with the repressed comrades presuppose a way of actively responding to the repression. The actions which took place in the frame of a call against the G20 are part of a larger context at an international level where similar actions took place in other places. Lastly, those actions against banks and real estate companies are part of a more local struggle, at the same time presupposing an attack against a bigger enemy, because they are companies which influence the configuration of cities. In general, these actions don't seem to be of huge relevance for the police, although they are used in an excuse to hit the movement, and some of them do worry them more because they show certain preparation and organizational capacity. According to the Public Prosecutor's Report of 2018 on anarchist terrorism.
Según el informe de la Fiscalía de 2018 sobre el terrorismo anarquista.
Has there been any repercussion to society related to this case in the media or solely in the anarchist circles? How is this operation being discussed?
En los últimos años, en el Estado español.
In the last years, there seems to be a strategy within the Spanish state of silencing in the media when it comes to many actions and struggles that have a more subversive perspective. In the case of the previous operations, the media repercussions were huge. However, that has not been the case now. The last operations ended up being archived, with articles questioning the professionalism of the police, which makes us think that this time around they want to avoid this embarrassment.
In the context of the G20 in Hamburg, Germany in 2017, the important site for counter-information, Links unten in die Media, was shut down and forbidden. Have there been or are there any attempts in Spain to shut down non-hegemonic media?
In Operation ARC, there's talk about a counter-information portal called Contramatriz, centering much on the information around the content and accusing it of being a fellow terrorist project, which corresponds to a criminalization strategy, but there have been no legal actions against this portal.
No ha habido acciones legales contra este.
Okay, to go back to the topic of Operation ARC, in which ways can people support the struggle around this case?
Nosotras, por ejemplo.
We, for example, try to offer financial support and also spread information about the case against our comrades. But we also think that it is important to support other struggles that are being criminalized with this case, like the struggles against speculation, gentrification, against the police, the struggle for occupations, etc., which, independent of the narrative of the police or the judiciary powers, seem legitimate to us, and we wish them to spread.
Where can we find more information?
Recently, a website was designed in order to centralize all information surrounding this case, quemandoarcas.noblogs.org. On this site, one can find downloadable resources to support the case, future call-outs, information, and some reflections on repression. All the material is in Spanish, but we are working on translating some of the resources, and of course, we encourage you to contribute in this task.
Os animamos a contribuir de esta manera.
Is there something else you would like to say?
Que no reconocemos la clasificación.
That we don't recognize the classification that the state imposes on our comrades as innocent or guilty. For us, the only thing that's clear is that they are anarchists. They are, as are we, enemies of the state. We understand this repressive blow and other such blows as a part of a logic where they are not only attacking two people but an entire political environment. Furthermore, we consider the actions that are being put on trial as legitimate, and we do not want anyone serving a sentence for them. So we don't care if the accused are innocent or guilty. To reivindicate them as innocent would point somewhere else, and it would also delegitimize these actions, starting from the logic of the state, which also establishes this dichotomy. In the same way that it delegitimizes them when someone is recognized as guilty. For anarchy and the destructions of all prisons.
Culpable. Por anarquía y por la destrucción de todas las cárceles.
If there's anyone there has a moment to spare and can give undivided attention, I'd be grateful if you'd give a minute or two and consider some points I would mention. There are slanderous tongues ever ready to wrong and murder the fine reputation of the lads with big feet who by pounding the beat are protecting the peace of the nation. There are short-sighted folks who insist that these blokes are just uniform masters of thuggery. There can be no dispute if they didn't put the boot in, the country would soon go to buggery. So try and keep calm when they're twisting your arm or planting a fist in your gum. When they're giving you hell in a cold prison cell, they're only just doing their job. When Hitler and co. were running the show, assisted by Germany's coppers, if a nose was too big or a mind was too active, its owner was sure of the chopper. Socialists, communists, Jews and trade unionists landed up dead or in quad. And the police were in there, of course, doing their share. Ah, but they were just doing their job. Il Duce the bully and Franco his cully both loaded their country with chains. And in the front ranks of these two mountebanks were the police of both Italy and Spain. In South Africa, El Salvador, Guatemala, where they call working people the mob. The screams and the yells from the punishment cells show the police are just doing their job. If you're black but just brown, if you're jobless and down, if you speak for a world which is saner, if you stand up and fight for what's yours by right, if you're an anti-nuclear campaigner, remember the chap in the comical hat is one of humanity's crosses. Wherever there's trouble, whatever the struggle, he'll be on the side of the bosses.
These are the angry
voices of Dissident Island
Radio
from London.
Back in the UK!
Welcome to Dissident Island's contribution to this month's edition of Bad News. From the shores of the forcibly United Kingdom, we bring you a short roundup of union wins, animal action, eco wars, and ACAB ammo from a largely wet summer in the capital of capital. First, a short ACAB update. NETPOL, the Network for Police Monitoring, has reported that no police officer will face prosecution over the death of Andre Moura, who was murdered in July 2018 after CS spray was used to restrain him. The abuse was captured on video and the recording showed an officer repeatedly kneeling on his head. Mr. Moura was arrested outside his house, but on arrival at the police station, was found unresponsive in the back of the police van. He was then taken to hospital where he was declared dead. In union news, at the end of August, the British government made a last-minute decision to stop massive evictions of tenants who are struggling to pay rent since the start of the pandemic. But the decision will last only until 20th of September. London Renters Union, Radical Housing Network and Social Housing Action Campaign have been protesting throughout this month for the ban on evictions to be extended, arguing that if the government can bail out the banks, there is no reason why they cannot protect tenants. The Independent Workers Union of Great Britain has been pretty busy this month. First, they won a landmark court ruling towards establishing rights for foster care workers in the UK. Due to precarious working conditions and the lack of whistleblowing protections, foster care workers in the UK, who take care of essentially orphaned children, are vulnerable to exploitation, bullying, and intimidation when it comes to demanding basic rights for themselves and the children in their care. The IWGB successfully argued that the claimants, who are two foster carers, are entitled to employee rights, including sick pay, holiday pay, a guaranteed minimum wage, and protections for whistleblowing. The union is now campaigning for these rights to be granted to all foster care workers across the rest of the country as well. In the IWGB's other win this month, the union dragged the British courier company Citysprint back to an employment tribunal for the third time to establish worker status and basic employment rights. The IWGB argued the couriers were wrongly classified as independent contractors when they should have worker status and be entitled to holiday pay and minimum wage. The IWGB said it was appalled that it had to take Citysprint to the tribunal three times because the company was so determined to deny workers of basic protections, but that this victory shows that even when the terms of contracts are manipulated, union organising can still win the fight for workers' rights. In direct action news this month, Mendip Hunt Sabs held a protest at the Mendip Fun Rides fundraiser for the Mendip Farmers Hunt. With cancellations of point-to-points and other fundraisers due to COVID-19, Hunts are doing everything they can to scrape together money. Mendip Hunts Abs report that the Mendip Fun Rides event is little more than a front group to fund the flailing hunt. The Mendip Farmers Hunt are a criminal gang who blatantly hunt foxes and subject Hunts Abs to regular violence, intimidation and criminal damage. In eco news, instead of a summer gathering this year, Earth First held a summer dispersal. 2 days of decentralised resistance across the country on Friday 21st and Saturday 22nd of August. They also published their new zine on Green Direct Action in 2020. The booklet, which is available free online, considers the problems of green activism amid a pandemic and takes an in-depth look at the major campaign this year against HS2. The HS2 is a new high-speed rail link planned to connect London with Birmingham, Manchester and Leeds. Earth First are actively supporting the direct action camps campaigning against HS2 across Warwickshire, Northamptonshire and Buckinghamshire, protecting ancient woodlands against the most destructive government infrastructure project since World War I. An Earth First seed camp will be running along the route for skill shares and active resistance building from the 9th to the 15th of September. And that's it for Dissident Island's September News Roundup, brought to you from this steadily sinking ship. Back in the UK!
This is Bad News, episode 38 of September 2020 by the Radio Zones of Subversive Expression.
Moria, the biggest refugee camp. As everything shows, the concentration camp was completely burned down in the 9th of September. From March till now, the 14,000 refugees were forced to remain in quarantine inside the camp in inhumane conditions, with the excuse of the pandemic. According to the first information, two fires broke out shortly after 11 on the night of Tuesday, September 8, in a forest area in the Vatousa area of the municipality of West Lesbos, but also around the camp in Moria, a fact which indicates arson. The fires quickly spread inside the camp, burning structures, tents and containers. Police forces were sent to the area from Athens. Now, the 14,000 refugees are homeless and the Greek state forced a lockdown to the whole island.
occupied Rosa Nera was housed on Castelli Hill for 16 years in a former university building and its courtyard, which had been abandoned and closed for over 20 years. On Saturday, September 5th, it was evacuated by repressive forces. Since then, hundreds of supporters have spread in the city of Chania to demand the return of the building and its continuation as an open political assembly on the front lines of social, environmental and labor struggles as a roof structure. An occupation of the town hall in Chania is taking place by supporters of the occupation of Rosa Nera since the 10th of September.
Hello everybody, this time we're gonna report shortly about some current incidences in Leipzig, a city with about 600,000 inhabitants in the east of Germany. In the end of August and the beginning of September, the ongoing struggle against gentrification and the attempt to connect local ongoing conflicts with the perspective of international solidarity had a little climax here. At the 21st of August, some people squatted a house in Ludwigstrasse 71 with the self-declared aim to recapture public spaces, establish non-commercial locations, and create attention for empty houses as the ongoing process of gentrification in the town. The squad was sadly evicted on the 2nd of September. As a reaction on it, a demo took place in the Eisenbahnstraße neighborhood. It was really dynamic and determined. Cops were attacked, barricades built and lighted up. During the confrontations, people tried to re-squat Louis 71. One day later, at the 4th of September, another house was squatted in Konnewitz, a quarter in the south of Leipzig. The cops evicted it some hours later, what caused another spontaneous demo and ended up with barricades and clashes with the police. At the same time, the Soziale Kampfbaustelle, a political event with planned workshops, demo and party, had its first day in the same neighborhood. In the call for the weekend of discussion and action, they wanted to line out the revolutionary tendencies of territorial struggles such as in Chile, Rojava and Greece, and highlighted the feminist struggles within these socio-political conflicts. The demo of this event had the motto Combined Struggles and took place at the 5th of September. In the beginning, there were speeches held which tried to link local struggles with ongoing conflicts, like for example the Black Lives Matter movement in the US, and there was a call out for international solidarity in general. In the demo, which had round about 500 participants, there was a massive ignition of pyrotechnics and various smaller attacks on cops. After the windows of some luxury apartments were trashed, the cops decided to break up the demonstration and attack from different sides at the same time. There were physical assaults on bystanders and journalists. Groups of people were chased through the side streets and arrested. At the same time, in the west of the city, there was lit up a cop car in solidarity with the ongoing struggles. After these little series of actions, the reaction in the local but also national media was quite big, and the mayor of the city convinced the proceedings heavily, as he said things like, "This way gentrification will never be stopped," and arranged a meeting with a functionary of the police to talk about how to get back control. To be continued. We're gonna publish some links of the call for the Soziale Kampfbaustelle and a reflection of the happenings from some activists we found in the internet on the A-Radio webpage.
think it's a very, very sad day for this country, and I think we lost it a bit.
Why did you lose it? Why did the police lose control?
Because the people, I think in England, you just do not expect people to be so vicious and violent against the ordinary British police officer and against people's personal property.
This is Bad News Contribution from Free Social Radio 1431 AM, Thessaloniki, Greece.
The eviction of Terra Incognita Squad in Thessaloniki. On Monday, August 17, police forces intrude in the squatted building of Terra Incognita in Thessaloniki, conduct researches for hours and evicted it. The building was occupied in 2004 and hosted, apart from the political and managing assembly of Terra Incognita, a self-organized typographic collective and a gym. They confiscated equipment from the following structures that existed in the squat: first aid clinic, gym, library, printing house, and also a big archive of posters and printed material that dates back many decades ago. Soon people in solidarity gathered near the building and moved with a small demonstration near the spot. Since then, many actions that show solidarity to Terra Incognita have taken place, like protests with PA system, interventions and demonstrations all around Greece, and around 1,000 people supported the demonstration on September 8 in Thessaloniki. The invasion of cops in Libertatia Squad in Thessaloniki during rebuild works. On Sunday, August 23, several squads of cops raided the Libertatia Squad in Thessaloniki. During the reconstruction of the building's roof that had been burned down by fascists in 2018, the cops broke the door's padlock and raided the squad, where they arrested 12 people that were inside. They also confiscated several building tools and other necessary material for their reconstruction of the roof, as they had done 1 month before. Other than the 12 arrested people, the cops held two more comrades that were standing outside the building and released them a couple of hours later. The accusations that have been charged to the 12 comrades are illegal working, damaging a monument of cultural significance, and disobedience. On Saturday, 5th of September, a gathering took place outside of Libertatia Squad with almost 150 people in solidarity, and one part of the work for reconstruction of the roof has been completed.
Go comrades in hunger strike and the martyr Ebrutim Tik in Turkey. On August 27, during 238 days of her hunger strike death fast, our comrade, a member of People's Law Office, Ebrutim Tik, fell as a martyr. She was assassinated by imperialism and fascism because she resisted the injustice, exploitation and oppression imposed by Erdogan and his party AKP to the fighters and peoples of Turkey. She fought for the right to a fair trial, which is the main demand of the great resistance of the hunger strike until death. The people's lawyer Aytaç Unsal stopped the hunger strike to death on September 3, 2020, as he was released from prison being on the 214th day of hunger strike death fast. His release is a victory for the resistance, the martyrs, and the great solidarity developed in all parts of the earth. Ebrutim Tik and Aytaç Unsal are part of a group of 18 lawyers who have been convicted and sentenced to long-term imprisonment. They are all members of the Progressive Lawyers Association, Çağdaş Hukukçular Derneği, and the People's Law Office, Halkın Hukuk Bürosu, known for the representation of clients who are considered opponents of the Turkish government. In a profoundly unfair trial, these lawyers have been sentenced to many years of imprisonment for alleged terrorist-related offenses. Ebrutim Tik had been sentenced to 13 years and 6 months, and Aytaç Unsal to 10 years and 6 months, both for membership of a terrorist organization. Group Yorum member Ali Aratçı was on the Great Terrorists list with a bounty of 300,000 lira on his head. He was released on September 3 also, after he was jailed for 1.5 years based on lies and false news. The political prisoners Ümit İlter, Sadık Eroğlu and Group Yorum member Emel İgesil İrmak were captured again by anti-terror police while living in the prison after being released on September 11. Also on September 11 and after 205 days of death fast, the demands of the political prisoner Didem Akman have been accepted and ended her hunger strike. Didem Akman demanding the extension of her time out of the cell and permission of her family to visit her. Until now, there are four martyrs of this resistance. Group Yorum members Helin Bolek and Ibrahim Gökçek, People's Front member Mustafa Gökçak, and People's Law Office member Ebrutim Tik.
We are back in the Radio Blau studio, and as promised, we also prepared one more input for you. On another part of the world, in Latin America, it's also not so calm. And we talked a lot already about struggles in Chile, but now, last 2 weeks, there are big protests against police brutality going on in Colombia. And there are many people injured and minimum 30 people died. And to understand what is going on, we made an interview with Paula, who is a drummer and a singer in the punk band Policarpa y Viciosas, if I pronounce it correct. And she's also politically active in Colombia. So after the interview, we will hear a little piece of the music of the Policarpa. Hi, first of all, introduce yourself.
Hello, I am Paula Loaiza and I am playing in punk bands like Infesto and Policarpa. As these bands, we also work with feminist groups and social movements and talk about injustice going on in Colombia.
We make this interview because there are hard protests against police brutality going on in Colombia. Please, tell us, how did they start, what was the reason and political background in country, and why it took such a massive scale so fast?
I think it is an accumulation of different circumstances. Despite the fact that we have the peace process with the FARC, the transnational and multinational continue to finance paramilitaries and the military for displacement of people in natural resource restriction areas. And we return into time of massacres and assassination of social leaders. With the COVID-19, we could see widespread poverty and social injustice where the murder of 39 people who had participated in the protests is reported. It is not a secret to anyone that we live in a narco-paramilitary dictatorship that the governments have not overcome because we are the gateway to take over of Venezuela, which is the only country that is stalling the ISA highway project that connects Canada to the south of Chile, and that will give way to the exploitation of Latin America. The entire judicial system is responsible for repression and social control. All kinds of social, cultural, and recreational activity can generate critical positions against the system and become a danger to the security of the state. The repression of the youth has been intensified, and we see how young people have been massacred in different territories of Colombia. Young people are tired of all the abuse caused by policemen who still manage microtraffic of drugs and violent the people after the murders of young people nationwide, and the murder and torture at the hands of the police of lawyer Javier Ordóñez on National Human Rights Day in Colombia on 9th of September, which was the fire that ignited the disgracement of the youth and other people and result in many injuries from side to side and the violent death of 13 young Colombians by the hands of the police.
That sounds hard. What would you say? How big is the protest and what kind of people participate and support it and what political spectrum this protest has?
For example, in Colombia, the police control the transport traffic and the police is controlled by the same administration as the military forces. So it is easier for them to distribute drugs, rob the population and trap you and even kill you in your own home because they can enter without a judicial warrant. And all this is because there is no civil control over them. We can see many videos where police in plain clothes vandalize protests to generate repression. Young people and the people in general have taken to the streets tired of so much corruption of the state. We cannot say that urban guerrillas have not come out, because in a state that is no guarantor of rights and an attack on citizenship, they will always be born new guerrillas. Our destinies has to change, and we are facing a government that doesn't give us guarantees of solutions to a more fair and equitable social change.
Could you please tell where can people learn more about the situation and what are the trustful sources from your point of view?
You can learn more from independent newspapers and alternative and anti-fascist websites and from opponents of this government. You can also see it reflected in the lyrics of all the punk bands in the country and on their web page. My point of view is that of an informed citizen who is based on historical and current events, who has worked for different human rights social organizations and has seen directly the systematic violence of this government.
And my last question is, what kind of solidarity is needed right now?
Please spread the information and videos of police abuse, which you can easily find on social networks, and support different social groups organized against police abuse. Thank you so much for listening to me, and be sure that with solidarity you can change the world. Salud y anarquía.
Fuck!
Right. I'll go on with the only short news we have for today, which is also sadly bad news this time. And it's about the raids which took place at the 16th of September, when police forces raided several private flats in Berlin and Athens and the anarchist library in Berlin. There are five persons accused by the state prosecutor that they should have formed the criminal organization. We will see what happens next. So far, there is not too much clear about their trial. And we call everybody to show solidarity with the accused, even if 129 A or and B trials will pop up like mushrooms this autumn. There will be resistance for sure. Luckily, we also can tell about that there already happened some actions in solidarity also here in Leipzig, where, for example, there was a spontaneous demo in Konnewix on the same day.
We also want to express our solidarity with refugees on Lesbos Island. Last news is that the government of Greece forbid to anyone to give water and food for the asylum seekers who are now living on the street, and they try to make them starve to go, that they come to this kind of new camp, which is only can be de facto called prison. And tomorrow at 20th of September at 3 p.m. at Leipzig Markt, Seebrücke Leipzig is calling for a demonstration for evacuation of the camp and refugees from Lesbos.
So we are already in our announcement part of this show, and shortly before the end, sadly, sad end of this show again. So beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep. There's the next announcement for you today, is that on the 4th of October around 5 p.m. at the Breitestraße 4, there will be the opening of the new local of the anarcho-syndicalists FAU. There will be drinks, snacks, and a DJ will contribute music to you.
Yeah, other interesting events is that the 26th of September at 6 p.m. In the ganze Bäckerei at Josefstrasse 12, there will be a presentation and letter writing in solidarity with trans prisoners in Turkey. And staying at the queer and feminist topic, I need also sadly announce that on the 15th of September, Liebig 34, Liebig 34, they got a mail that they are threatened to evict, that there is an attempt to evict them on Friday, 9th of October at 7 a.m., and they ask for solidarity and support, and they will, of course, struggle against and will not leave the Liebig 34.
So, as always in the end of our show, we will tell you our contact, like maybe Camilla can tell you about our email address if you have any critique or like any idea about content for the next show, please yes. Get in contact with us.
Our email is bn-tilia@riseup.net. I repeat, bn-tilia@riseup.net. You can find it also on our website, Bad News for Tilia, no blogs. Badnewsfortilia.noblogs.org.
And yeah. Our next show will be at the 17th of October 2020. So if you want to tune in, and hopefully we can contribute you with a lot of other like interesting topics.
Yeah, again. Remember, 17th on 17th. see you around, hear you around. Have a nice day.